0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the dust begins to settle on another Premiership season, Rangers continue their rebuild with the signing of Dujon Sterling from Chelsea. Celtic and Inverness Cali Thistle aren't done yet though, with a Scottish Cup final still to come. And a similar story for Partick Thistle and Ross County for a place in the top flight just 2 days away. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight, you have Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dalziel. It's getting there. You're almost away on your summer holidays, Gordon Dalziel, but still lots happening.
Yeah, I'm still looking forward to the next three games. Three massive games if you're Partick Thistle and Ross County. And also if you're Celtic and Inverness. Inverness going in, as we all know, is the underdogs against really the favourite Celtic to go and lift the treble. But the sun shines brilliant, and I hope the next few days is brilliant football as well.
See, this was deliberate. Former Celtic player, former Partick Thistle player. It's a big week for you.
It's tied in nicely, hasn't it? Yeah, as Daz says, big games coming up. I've been impressed with Partick. Been watching the playoffs. I think they've got some really tidy footballers. And, you know, it's going to be a hell of a two games. And obviously you've got the cup final at the weekend to look forward to as well.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So get in touch on the phones, whatever it is that's on your mind. We're at that point of the season where either you're looking back on the campaign, or maybe you're already thinking about what comes ahead. And of course the Scottish Cup final is still to come as well. So 0141 951 1025. In terms of today's news, about 30 seconds before we came on air, so thank you for the timing, Rangers confirmed the signing of Dujon Sterling from Chelsea, most recently been on loan at Stoke. Rangers fans, what do you make of that? Do you know much about him? Have you been doing the usual Wikipedia, YouTube, internet search to see what you can learn? Generally speaking, how do you think he'll fit in? What type of positions would you be prioritising? It's another piece of business that's done early. What does that say about Michael Beale's need to try and get things moving? All of the above and more. 0141 951 1025. Last night on Twitter, actually, we asked you to sum up your team's season in one word. Risky. You know, it was a risky game, that I must say. Some of the some of the replies that we got. Maybe tonight though, there's one on Twitter for you. What was your moment of the season? Now, the reason I like that question, because there's obvious ones. I mean, if you're a Celtic fan, it might be the trophy lift, it might be the goal that you knew had won the title, a goal over your big rivals, whatever it may be. But within that question, your moment of the season, surely there's some madness out there.
Well, yes,
Scottish football
be.
Never disappoints, does it? So no. Maybe, you know, maybe you can give us a slightly tongue-in-cheek answer of your left-field moment of the season. Something funny, something bizarre, something downright outrageous. You can do that as well. So there's a couple for you to kick us off. What is your moment of the season? And again, that's open to fans of all teams. So you can tell us your moment of the season. Today's news, Rangers fans, what do you make of the signing of Dujon Sterling? And anything else, general reflections on the season, previews of the cup final, thoughts about what's to come next campaign. It is all here between now and 8 o'clock with Gordon Dalziel and Simon Donnelly. 0141 951 1025. How do you look back on the league campaign, Simon?
From a Celtic perspective?
Any perspective you like.
I think a huge success. I think Celtic have raised their bar again this year. I think the manager went on record last year saying he wanted it bigger and better. I'm looking at the table here, 114 goals, 80 of a goal difference, you know, phenomenal from Celtic. And I've had the privilege of covering most of the games. So they've been exciting. Most of the wee stutter, obviously, after they clinched it, but they were back to their best at the weekend, putting five past Aberdeen.
Yeah, you can't dismiss what Simon's saying there, and I think Celtic deserve all the congratulations for this type of football as well, scoring an amount of goals. I think when you look back, Aberdeen, that day that went down to the Ayrshire coast and Darvel put them out of the Scottish Cup, a dark moment, they were so far behind Hearts. Hearts had a game in hand, stick on to finish third. What an end to the season for Aberdeen. Motherwell, fighting relegation at one point. Now we're congratulating Van Veen, 11 goals on the spin, absolutely brilliant. And I think for teams like Livingston, as I say, success just to survive in the league. We had plenty of action, we had plenty of goals. I thought it was brilliant this year, I really did.
Yeah, I mean, it's always going to have a bit of everything. Simon, last night when we started reflecting on the season, you looked at maybe some people could say you'd be hoping for a bit more from our other bigger teams in terms of a consistency, because Aberdeen had their bad spell, changed the manager, finished strong, yeah. Hearts started strong, fell away to a point. Hibs kind of, you know, up and down almost week to week at certain times. But within that, some great stories. Livy, even 8th place, is still punching above their weight, isn't it? And then you look at Motherwell's finish, St Mirren top 6.
That's touched on it. Livingston just staying in the division. You know, they then become greedy, you know, they get into that top 6 at one point, but just to stay in the league is terrific for Livingston.
There's a lot of intrigue in there, Gordon. One of our bigger clubs.
Our predictions at the start, where have they went?
Oh, I'll get yours.
You don't
I'll get that. Yours tonight.
Because I'm looking at the top 6. Out with St Mirren.
I'm glad you said that, because we did it on Saturday with the guys that were on the show.
Right.
And I did make a mental note, which I'd clearly forgotten about, to do it every night this week, because you've still got some questions to answer. Marvin Bartley, guys like that, we still need to reflect more. So we'll do that, actually. That is a good point. Well, some of the shouts, honestly, wow.
I got St Mirren wrong, but I'm thinking the other five teams.
You did Aberdeen third. Nobody took Aberdeen in third.
I think the top five I had in the top 6, but I tipped St Mirren to get down.
Well, we'll find out. We will find out.
I apologise to the St Mirren fans.
We'll find out later on. I'll get your predictions out there. Like I say, come on then. How do you look back in the season generally? More specifically, we're asking you on Twitter tonight, what was your moment of the season? Let's get really specific. What was your moment of the season? And if you want to give us just a sort of mad, funny, entertaining one, we're here for that as well. Gordon Deal likes that sort of stuff.
So do you want mine?
Well, go on then.
Oh, it's got to be. And even today I was smiling and laughing about it in the golf course.
I'm worried about this.
No. Celtic's women's manager, Alonso Franz. Is it Franz?
Fran Alonso.
Fran Alonso breaking into song.
The weekend he sang, didn't he?
Absolutely.
After his post-match interview.
Unbelievable.
That's your moment of the season.
Yeah, he made my full season, that lad. Just when he
It's
he
a was, rogue choice if you ask me, but
it was a fact.
Did you see him the week before?
Yeah,
I covered the Celtic side. Game against Hearts, and Celtic went 2-0 up. He was an emotional wreck. He was crying on the touchline.
A passionate man.
A guy.
He went through every emotion. Obviously Celtic get pipped right at the final whistle. Yeah, I think Glasgow scored.
Yeah,
the Rangers game. But he was.
And all burst into Air United song.
And all the interviews I've ever done in my life, I've never thought halfway through this I'm going to burst into an ice cream song.
Well, there we are. Right, each to their own. I do think you can do better than that out there on Twitter, or more importantly on the phones. Your moment of the season. We can have the serious stuff, if you like, the obvious, you know, winning trophies, winning big games, important goals, or maybe some of the more bizarre episodes that sweep through Scottish football. Let us know on Twitter or the phones, more importantly. And today's news, that signing Rangers fans of Dujon Sterling. Let us know what you make of it. Let's start there, Gordon, just purely because, like I say, it's breaking news. It could not be more breaking. It happened about 10 seconds before I put this microphone on at the start of the show. Your thoughts on Michael Beale continuing that rebuild early?
I like the way he's doing his business. I think it's important to do it quickly. He's got his targets. He's going for them. He's getting them over the line. He's brought in a lad there, 23 years of age. He can play right back. He can play centre half, which is a bonus if you're signing players. You want players that can fit into a few positions. Because if you look just now, I don't think anybody will take Tavernier's place, but you need cover. I know young Devine's played in the full-back area as well to give him an opportunity. But I just think that the Rangers fans will be happy to see that a bit of business getting done. Michael Beale will be happy as well. He wants to just fill that jigsaw in, because next season he has got to hit the ground running, and he's given himself a great opportunity by planning very early.
I always think this when at this stage, Simon, let's be honest, I don't expect you or Gordon Dell to stand here tonight and say that will be a brilliant signing, or that will be a terrible signing, or anything in between, because really as much as we like to try, only time will tell. Yeah. But it does feel like there's a real effort to do some of this early for Rangers, because they know they're behind, they know they've lost players as well, and it feels like scrambling around towards the end of the window doesn't seem to be an option.
No, I think if you look across the city to the guy across at Celtic, he likes to do this as well, get his business done early. I think Michael Beale, this will be his biggest and most important transfer window. He's now been in the job several months. He's got a picture. There's people going to be leaving, so this is where he's going to put his stamp on the Rangers team with the guys that come in. As I say, I don't know much about the boy Sterling, but yeah, they look as if they're going to go and try and get stuff done. I think there will be quite a few new arrivals for Rangers, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, what their team looks like come
first day
August.
Of the season, yeah. Jeffrey's a Rangers fan. First through tonight, Jeffrey, a new signing this evening. What do you make of that?
I don't know much about him. I've just been listening to you before I came on. I don't think anybody knows about him, but let's hope for the best that he's one of the better signings that Beale's done. Not that I'm saying that he's not done bad signings.
Does it strike you get that impression as well, though, Jeffrey? There's a real effort here to do some of this early to try and make sure that the rebuild, or whatever word you want to use, doesn't become too much. Is that part of it? Do it early.
Well, yeah, do it early. Let's get one up on Celtic with the signings. As I said, I don't know much about them, but just wait and see what the summer brings. See what the summer signings bring.
Yeah, I mean, Gordon already, Kieran Dowland from Norwich, and you can get where Jeffrey's coming from. If Michael Beale's bar is Raskin and Cantwell, Rangers fans will probably be quite optimistic. Now, I think we know it's not that simple. They don't have the same success rate with them all. But it would be different if he'd signed two in January who were absolute duds. The Rangers fans might be a bit more unsure about this transfer window.
I think that what makes you as a better manager, Simon's talking there about Postecoglou. He's got a great knack of going into the transfer market and pulling out some good players. But you're right, Gordon, even Postecoglou's got one or two wrong. It's such a big job. The amount of players that are leaving, the quality of the players, of those five players either last week when they get their send off, there was good quality there. I know that Rangers fans were disappointed with one or two, of course, but throughout the piece there was good quality. So he's got to replace that. Now he's got to go early because he has got a bigger job than what Celtic have. If you look at Celtic squad, I know it came into question last week after a couple of bad results, but they certainly answered at the weekend there how good a side they are. So Michael Beale has got to start that rebuilding. He's well loaded in the middle of the park. If you look at his midfield players, he's got quite a few midfield players in there. So he's starting to fill in pieces for instance, cover for Tavernier, and also can play right centre back as well, which is good. So there's a bit more to be done. Their centre forward's got to come in. He'll look at the goalkeeping situation as well. But at least he's starting to make things happen.
Interesting to see what the makeup of that department is, because very hard to imagine someone being signed to replace James Tavernier. I'm not sure anyone would suggest that. Conor Goldson, sort of mainstay and experienced. Suter. And John Suter's finished the season really strongly. Ben Davies is still there. So you wonder what the intention is with Dujon Sterling. Is it a squad player at this point, or is there something else there in the pipeline?
Right now, if you were looking at Rangers, I totally agree with you. I think Suter has finished the season very well indeed. Goldson will be number one pick at centre back if he's fit. And I've said it in this show many a times. I'm a James Tavernier fan. I like him. I like what he brings to the party. I think he's got goals, assists. I know that some people question his leadership at times in the defending. Fine, everybody's got weaknesses, but I don't think this lad's been brought in. I think he's been brought in to a bit of cover as well, put a bit of pressure on, be there if anything happens to Tavernier, because they're sort of a light in those full-back positions. I know Barisic and Yilmaz is on the left-hand side. I think young Devine's played at full-back a couple of times. But I think he's just building this squad, and he wants, like every other manager, he wants quality for every position. And two, not just the one, because something could happen to Tavernier. I know that, you know, he doesn't miss a lot of games, but anything happened to Tavernier, especially with the season being so important, because they've got to put up a challenge to Celtic this year.
Yeah,
there's no doubt
I
about it.
I think Dujon Sterling only, he came into the Stoke team in about October, I think, Simon, played 28 times, mostly in the Championship this season. I mean, someone you know well, though, is John Souter, of course.
Yep.
The way he finished the season, do you think that puts a different feel on the defence going into next season?
I think so. I think John will go on to be a really successful player at Rangers. I worked with him closely in his early stages of his career. He's got the mentality. He's got the mentality, and nothing shows that more than the mistake that he had at Celtic Park. Doesn't affect him. You know, he went on to obviously score against Celtic in the next game. I think he's got the right mentality to play at a club the size of Rangers, and you know, there's no question his ability. I think he's back in the Scotland setup as well. So yeah, a strong finish for him, and I think he'll, if he can stay away from injury, he'll play for Rangers.
Oh, well, you know what's funny is, because we're actually asking for your moment of the season on Twitter, and Roger wanted to say that back pass was his moment of the season. So that shows you that Roger is a Celtic fan, and he says it was glorious, according to Roger.
Well, at the time I was obviously at that game with my son, I did enjoy it, but I felt for John. I said that to you. But he's bounced back from that, and that's where I think John will be a success, because he's mentally strong.
Yeah, I mean, Moan the Jags, is just, the last thing this guy needs is encouragement. He says, Gordon, ask Big Daz, if he thinks that Dujon Sterling will cut the mustard.
Yeah, I like it. Well done. A bit of humour.
No,
a bit of humour. The sun shining. Let's all laugh.
Absolutely not. Needs to be funny first, of course. 23 years of age, Gordon, like we said. 28 appearances for Stoke. Previous loan spells at Blackpool, Wigan, Coventry. So he's 23, like I said. Not a great deal of first team football. I think he managed, was it one sort of sub appearance for Chelsea in the FA Cup years ago. So not loads of first team football. So it'll be interesting to see what this stage of the development looks like.
Yeah, but the development will be probably good, especially last year, because the Championship, and Simon's obviously playing that sort of a standard, but the Championship's a difficult league, week in, week out. A lot of big teams, a lot of strong teams there. So he's got a bit of experience under his belt, Gordon. He's coming to a big club, and you don't know how people settle into teams like Rangers and Celtic. We've seen it before, coming with good reputations, and maybe sometimes the jersey's just too big to fill. But he's a good age, and obviously Michael Beale's done his homework on him, and he's delighted to have him as part of his squad.
Thanks, Jeffrey. 01419511025. Anyone with thoughts specifically on that news today, then, Dujon Sterling joining Rangers, pick up the phone. And more generally, what was your moment of the season? That's what we're looking for on the phones and on Twitter. Just a bit of fun. If you can give us some of the mad moments as well, that would be lovely. Great time to get in touch.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dalziel and Simon Donnelly are here on 01419511025, asking you for your general overall thoughts after the season, and more specifically, what was your moment of the season? I ask that because there are some obvious, serious, significant ones in there that shaped the course of the campaign, but there's bound to be some mad, bizarre left field stuff in there as well that we can have a bit of fun with. So your moment of the season, today's news from Ibrox is that Dujon Sterling has just signed, just been announced about 25 minutes ago. So again, Rangers fans, what do you make of that? Not too far around the corner, Scottish Cup final, Premiership playoffs. You might want to get some of that stuff off your chest as well. I mean, we are on Twitter. Matthew, maybe not a specific moment, he's gone a specific game though. Celtic 4 Rangers 0, the tone was set, he said. Did that feel like a real landmark moment in the season?
Yeah, it did. Celtic at that time were flying high, dominant. What are you laughing at?
He sounded a bit tired. Glasses went off.
Took the glasses off to have a think about the answer. That was all.
It's that heat out there.
I believe that heat.
I do. Because any time that you win that emphatically over your kind of closest rivals, it does set the tone. And I think that, you know, kicks Celtic forward. It was, as I say, a dominant display on the day. And, you know, you look at the way they've went about their business, you know, against Rangers over the piece. You know, the last game is the exception. You know, they've come up with the answers whenever they've needed them.
Yeah, because I suppose, Gordon, at that point, I get, look, I know Celtic fans would have been confident of retaining the title anyway, of course, but still at that point, Rangers had finished the season with a Scottish Cup win and a Europa League final. The next campaign began and they actually got to the Champions League group stages, which maybe people thought was going to be a bit of an uphill battle. No real dramas in the league. There was the 2-2 draw at Hibs, but you know, they, I think the game before it, they'd beat Ross County 4-0. They'd opened with 2-0 win against Kilmarnock, 4-0 against St Johnstone. So when they then meet in September the 3rd, it's still, no one's really shown or had the chance to make a big statement yet, because they both got to the same stage in Europe, league campaign early. Did that feel like a big moment?
100%. I think it was for everyone concerned with the two clubs. I mean, it's the way Celtic actually done it as well. They done it in style. They looked at yard sharper on the day against Rangers. And it's all about laying down that marker. And they went on to continue that, Gordon. And that's where obviously Rangers have now got the rebuild to try and bridge that gap, because on that day Celtic showed exactly what they were made of. They were terrific. Their pace of the game, their goals they scored, everything about them. And they looked hungrier for me. So Michael Beale's got to get that hunger back into Rangers.
And it's not all about the obvious ones, like I say, things you forget about. Johnny Grant says Pollock beating Ann in the cup. There we go.
I was there.
Really? Why?
I was at that game.
Just
you're an ex-Pollock man.
A couple of friends, the manager at the time as well, Big Murdy, was a golf partner of mine. So I was at Pollock that night.
There you go.
I must admit,
I wasn't there.
I am.
Unfortunately, I missed that one.
I think, I know you said some nonsense about Fran Alonso earlier on, but I think I know your moment of the season. And I think it came on Saturday afternoon. You see where I'm going with this?
No.
I heard you got a very special message from a title winning player. Now, for those of you
gratitude at the
for those
top
of you
level
who doubt this man, because we know that he's known to tell a story, embellish, I think is
was
the
it,
word.
Was it you who was interviewing him?
It wasn't actually, so it came from a mystery source. So Gordon Dale, known to embellish at times, and when he came on here, you'll remember the stories, said that he knew Ange Postecoglou, or he came up against him from his time in Australia, and we thought, oh shoot, that's obvious nonsense. Then we found out you actually played in the same team. And then the next one was that we found out that you apparently coached Alistair Johnson.
Did you? Yeah.
In Canada when he was a youngster. And again, you're thinking, surely not. How can you have managed to cast your shadow over the Celtic squad in this way? And then came this personalised video from the trophy celebrations on Saturday.
Hey Daz, thanks for the coaching back home. You made a big difference.
Daz. I mean, it's very short, but we'll do it one more time.
Hey Daz, thanks for the coaching back home. You made a big difference.
You made a big difference.
See, he's appreciated.
Never forgets
everything I spoke to him about. 2 or 3 years in a trot, it was Aurora over in Canada. I used to go there. I always looked forward to coaching him, but I thought to myself, one day he's got to make it big because he's listening. He's taking on board
the
information.
This is why no one believes you.
What age was he at this time?
As if he can remember.
It was quite young. but I can remember looking at him going, oh, he's got a great opportunity. So I took him under my wing and I helped him on. And that to me sums everything up. Someday it's just
a mark of the man. Just never forgets those that helped him along the way.
They remember how they get to the top, Gordon. Mm. And I was there. I was a part of that.
Honestly,
I did spot
nothing
it.
Nothing more to add.
Was it on Twitter?
No, he put it on his Instagram.
Is that what it was?
Oh. Straight away.
I was over him in AJ.
I bet your old sparring partner Mark Wilson won't like it. He won't like it. You're getting the credit.
No, I don't.
For creating a favourite Celtic right back.
Exactly. By the way, if I'd have known him all those years ago, I'd have helped him along the way as well. But
he could be needing some help tomorrow. He's playing at Celtic tomorrow.
Is he on the pitch?
In that heat.
And are you?
Yes, unfortunately.
Wow, during the day?
2 o'clock tomorrow.
Is it meant to be like the hottest day of
I know.
Mark Wilson's face goes red in here.
Yeah. But I've told him exactly what to do. Wilson will creep in at the right back position, right? And hide where he made a career for himself. All Sid has to do, get the boots on, hug the touchline, You'll kill him. You'll absolutely kill him.
You can keep us up to date on how that goes. Like, let's bring in Brian, who's a Rangers fan. I know it's not been a vintage season. Brian, would you be able to pick a moment of the campaign that stands out in a good way?
Yeah, I can pick three, if that's okay.
Of course you can.
Right, qualifying for the Champions League, and we know how it finished on the pitch, but it was important for us to get back into that competition. Playing those qualifiers are difficult enough as it is, but doing it at the beginning of the season, they're fraught with danger, no doubt about that. So that was good. Michael Beale coming in as manager in December, because I was fully behind that, and I'm confident going forward, you know, with that appointment, and finally beating Celtic this season. And I know that it was a dead rubber in terms of points in the league, but it certainly meant a lot, you know, for myself and other Rangers fans.
Yeah, Gordon, that most recent one, again, for anyone who thinks that this is us getting carried away, you can only tell in the future what that game meant. But if you're trailing your rival and they're better than you and they're winning trophies, they're head to head, a dead rubber might need to be the first step, and it might be a small one, but it might need to be a game like that, and then you find out if you can do it in a more meaningful environment.
Yeah, because you could have finished that season playing Celtic in all the games and not picking up anything at all. So it was important for Michael Beale to get the monkey off the back first and foremost as a manager. It was important for him, it was important for his players. Yes, you'll hear the Celtic fans screaming, it was a dead rubber, and we had played half our squad, and you know, we gave other fringe players an opportunity. But Rangers Celtic games, as Simon will tell you, everyone has got a bit of meaning in it. Let's be honest about it. And on that day, if you're a Celtic supporter, look, you've enjoyed your season, it's been terrific. You'll probably go on at the weekend, enjoy another game against Inverness in a treble. But if you're a Rangers supporter, that was a big, big win. And they played well that day, Gordon. You can't take it away from them. I thought they were excellent. I thought they were sharp to every ball, and they deserved their one. And I agree. Brian rhymed off three there about Champions League, the Celtic three, and I think every Rangers fan will agree with that. Michael Beale will be the big one. He's the one that's got to try and get near Celtic next year, because Celtic will sign quality players as well. They'll strengthen that squad. We know they've got a good squad. We know they play terrific football, score bags of goals, don't concede a lot. So Michael Beale is the main focus for me next season.
Yeah, on that game, Simon, then, from a Celtic point of view, were you able to disregard it completely and say, well, it's the end of the season, the title's won, so I take nothing from it? Or did it at least serve, even as a, even if it's a tiny one, a reminder of what can happen in this city when one team's at it and one team's not? And is it a sort of warning ahead of next season in any way?
I don't know if it's a warning as such, but it definitely relieves a little bit of pressure on Michael Beale. If Celtic were to go and win that one, you know, get into another season with no taste of victory in that fixture, it would just put him under more pressure. He's still under pressure because Celtic are the team to catch. But listen, I put it in my thing, dead rubber, and it was tongue-in-cheek, but you want to win them all. You want to win the games all the time against your rivals. So from Celtic's point of view, were they subconsciously off it a wee bit? I don't know. But Rangers were the better team on the day.
And I suppose the Champions League, Gordon, because like when you're in the midst of it and you get into those groups, and let's be honest, Rangers had a torrid time in the groups. I'm sure it didn't feel great, you know, at the time. But for Brian now to look back on one of the moments, I wonder how important that actually is. Because if everyone, Rangers fans, Celtic fans, us, are talking right now, you know, Celtic are ahead of Rangers, Rangers have got catching up to do, how much further ahead might Celtic be if they had got Champions League money this season and Rangers hadn't? You could then be talking, you know, it's a much bigger gap to try and bridge.
Yeah, and that's why it was important to get into Champions League group stages. Okay, there was a few games there that wasn't particularly nice to sit and watch, because they were outclassed at times. But the most important thing was the Champions League money. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And you look across the city, and if Celtic had been in there and Rangers didn't qualify, all of a sudden you could be thinking, oh, that gap is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, it might well do.
Anyway, yeah, exactly.
Because we do not know what's going to happen this summer. And that's why it's so exciting. But they had to give themselves a chance, and Champions League money's given them a bit of a chance.
I'm going to have to try and do the same again, I guess, this season. Brian, what about that signing today? Again, I don't know if you're a Stoke expert and you've had the chance to watch loads of Dujon Sterling, but just generally speaking, what have you made of it?
No, I don't really watch Championship football, to be honest. I mean, it's a strong league, no doubt, but I've no really any interest. I've watched the English Premier League and Top League up here. I had a look at him, I Wikipedia'd him, and he's played around about 100 games in the Championship. He was on loan to Coventry mm-hmm. and Blackpool before he went to Stoke. He obviously didn't play for Chelsea, but that's a difficult team to get into, even though they've had a poor season. If you're talking about, he's young and he's English, and if he does well for us, maybe in the next couple of seasons we could do the same as what we did with Bassey. Though Dion Sterling's got more experience of playing more first-team football than Bassey did. You know, so we'll just need to wait and see how that happens. Can I say one other thing about the season? I could sum it up in a few words. We started the season quite strong. Domestically, we were winning games. We then qualified for the Champions League, which was a huge thing. And then, you're right, we went to Celtic and lost 4-0. And everything just seemed to fall apart, you know, after that. Could beat us early 4-0 and then following up with a Champions League match against Ajax. And then we had to play Napoli the following week. It certainly caught up with us. After the Champions League, or maybe in the middle, when we realised we weren't going to do anything there, we seemed to settle down and our domestic form was still okay. And then 4 or 5 games before the World Cup came along, we dropped points against Livingston at home, and then St Johnstone away, and then St Mirren, we drew. Dropping those points put us 9 points behind Celtic. When Michael Beale came in, he galvanised the club, there's no doubt about that. But every time we were winning, Celtic was winning. So we were getting nowhere but our form. If you look at it, 22, I think we won 22 league games out of 25. That was pretty impressive. And that's why I'm confident. If he can get this Rangers side at this moment in time winning consistently, once he gets his own players in, playing the style that he wants to adopt, I feel if we're consistent now, we can be consistent next season, and that's where we're going to need to be.
Yeah, it's interesting. I thought, you know, Brian covered a lot of ground there at the end, Gordon, but to pick out the sort of Calvin Bassey model, because that's obviously been one of the real success stories from Rangers in terms of making money on a player. So you wonder if it is a similar profile. Rangers, Michael Beale, Steven Gerrard, they've liked that English market a lot. They've not relied on it completely because Nicholas Raskin didn't come from there. But obviously, again, you know, Todd Cantwell did, Kieran Dowell, Dujon Sterling. So it is a, and in fact, I believe Michael Beale, I read something, he tried to get him for QPR, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. So he certainly likes that market.
Yeah, that's a market he shops in. Obviously, Postecoglou shopped in the Japanese market because he knew that. Michael Beale's worked down there for a long time. You know, he worked as a coach at Liverpool, and he's obviously been the QPR and the assistant manager at Aston Villa. Well, joint assistant with Gary McAllister. So he knows that market, he knows the players, he knows the standard of the Championship. I think first and foremost for a lad coming up, if I look at that Rangers team and everybody was fit with the players that have got, he's got a fight in his hands to get in the team right away. Because if he's got to play in that right back, right centre back area, you've got Goldson and Tavernier that very seldom are left out of the team. In fact, they're not left out of the team if they're fit, they're first picks. So right away, he'll have a challenge before he can even think of what his next journey is going to be.
Thank you, Brian. 01419511025. It is the perfect time to get in touch. You might have a reaction to that breaking news today of Rangers' new signing. You might want to share general thoughts on the season. And more specifically, we are asking you on Twitter and the phones tonight for your moment of the season. So get in touch.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly are here, 0141 951 1025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're asking you for a couple of things tonight: to react to Rangers fans, to the signing of De Jong Sterling, and also just for a bit of fun, asking your moment of the season. Now, on Twitter, I just looked during the break, we're starting to get into the swing of things here. Because I said the obvious ones, fine, but I'm trying to take a proper trip down memory lane, some of Scottish football's wackier moments. Sean White has sent me, remember the first time Arbroath's John Young appeared on TV with the two sets of glasses on? Remember this?
Yeah.
He's got one pair on, then another pair on his head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quite like that. He's a fashion trailblazer. Don't mind that at all. I'd like to see you try that look.
I've done that with my sunglasses, then the glasses on top of it.
Oh, no, no, that's not good. That
I thought you were going to say, is it Jeezy Peeps, man?
Jeezy Peeps, eh?
That's a good shout.
Yeah.
That is a good shout.
That was Arbroath as well, wasn't it? The commentator.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Oh, Jeezy Peeps, man.
The problem is, it became a bit, it got old quite quickly.
Yeah.
But at the time,
it was good.
Remember, he came on this show as well.
Yeah.
He phoned us.
He was a star.
He was unreal.
He's now got an agent and everything.
Incredible. What else have we got? John, some of them are specifically about this show, which is nice of you to hang on to some memories. John says the Paisley beat the pundit mafia, winning every time.
Yeah.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
One brother, then the other brother, then the cousins.
So laid back.
Laid back, that's one phrase for it. Yeah.
We'll just call it laid back.
We'll leave it at laid back. They were spectacular, weren't
they? They won four, did they not?
Oh, goodness knows. A cousin got involved. It was
four, I think they won.
We had to start blocking their calls, I have to say. And a more recent one as well. Canine Psychology says someone phoning Super Scoreboard for marriage advice off you, Gordon.
Yeah, Dale. I was here for him.
Remarkable.
He's now divorced.
Absolutely remarkable.
Now he's single.
It has to be said there. Oh, I like this goal. I feel like he didn't actually get enough credit, right? Duke's back heel goal at Tannadice. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Down the left, cut in. Man. I mean, it was more than a back heel, wasn't it? It was. Oh, yeah. I like that.
Good goal.
Cheeky.
That was brilliant, actually. That was really, really good. I enjoyed that one, I must say. And here, one right up your street, Gordon DL, then, just before we move on and take some more calls. Where was it? It was from Bev. Favourite moment? Every moment watching Kevin Van Veen, says Bev.
Especially the last 11 games. It's so exciting, wasn't it?
11 in a row.
A row. That's incredible. Yeah.
With some really good ones in there as well. Yep. You know, 11 under any circumstances would be special.
What's his situation? Are you going to keep a hold of him?
No chance.
A year left, doesn't he? And he's in his 30s, which maybe makes his next destination a bit trickier in terms of, you know, would clubs come and spend big money and commit, you know, a long term future?
Deal.
Maybe
not.
But is it just a foregone conclusion? Is he off skiing this summer?
I think so, Gordon, yeah. I would be very surprised.
How could you ignore that goal?
Someone else in our league? Or?
And I think he'll go to the Dutch league.
There you go. Just made that up. Well, because he's Dutch?
Yeah, well, that's part of it.
There was talk of China, remember?
Are they not a Dutch team sort of sniffing about just now?
What does it say to do that from a team that ended up finishing well, but it's not like you're scoring that number at the top end, you know,
What was his tally in the end?
29 in all competitions.
For a Motherwell striker, that's terrific.
It's very good. And as you say, Gordon, some really nice finishes in there as well.
And not that long ago, fighting relegation.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's some turnaround. But I don't think you'll see. They'll probably hear it first here, me talking about them going to the Dutch.
I'm interested in this. You are actually starting to convince me that you know, like someone's told you.
No, I'm just going with
it's a gut instinct.
Yeah. He's probably wanting nearer home again. He'll play in that league, he knows the league, I think. And he'll go over there as a cult hero after scoring.
He's got a year left.
Absolutely.
I know, but Motherwell will cash in, they'll get a couple of quid for him. No thanks, so, Gordon.
I just don't know where you're plucking this Dutch league from. It makes me, I'm suspicious of you.
And
you've been speaking to an agent somewhere.
No. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
Well, probably yeah, will be.
Fell short in the race for top scorer, of course. Kyogo won that, 27, Van Veen 25, Shankland 24. And like, the various ways of measuring the league, it's just a small point, Simon. But good to see a race going like that and with healthy totals.
Yep.
If you think back to last season in the Scottish Premiership, the top scorer in the entire league last season got 13. Now I know things can, Kyogo got injured, didn't he? So Jackie Mackis stepped in. Jackie Mackis and Charles Cook got 13.
Was that the
was
top?
That was the top in the entire league last season.
Wow.
So to have three players this season well above 20.
What did the Aberdeen players?
Duke and Miowski both get 16.
Right.
Tavernier, I think, 16. Cholak, 14. You know, a good number of players in double figures as well. So.
Yeah. It's good to see. And Van Veen was one I like watching. You know, as you say, struggling at one point, the team, and he really led that line brilliantly. And some of his goals, he scored a great one through Celtic Park recently as well. But yeah, it's been a great season for him. He probably finds himself really unlucky not to win something because of the likes of Kyogo scored that many. And they've won the league.
I went to the game on Sunday because it was a rare day off, the chance to just go to Fir Park, just sort of watch it with no work hat on. Mm-hmm. It sounds strange, but it did sort of dawn on me that Kevin Van Veen has probably made Motherwell fan season more enjoyable than it might have been in another. You know, you can finish seventh and not enjoy the season anywhere near as much as you would enjoy this season because you had him. You know, you had one player, you had one guy that you really looked forward to. Then when the momentum started picking up at the end, you could really get behind the 8, 9, 10, 11 games in the row. Do you know what I mean by that?
Like, yeah, I think that's where excitement comes.
Be quite disappointed about it, but he actually elevated it to make it feel a bit better than
Motherwell fans and everybody concerned with Motherwell finished the season such a high, and it was because of Van Veen. Okay, it's not just a one man team, but he certainly played his part, and excitement going along, do you say, Gordon, to see if he could break that record was incredible. Did you sit behind the goals? Or did you sit in the main? No, see, you could do it all wrong. Behind the goals, well, you see better movement.
You've been on this, Groenigan. Grant McKee has sent me the article.
Oh, I don't.
I'm trying to pretend it's just a hunch that you've got. Nonsense. Right, Paul.
All my stuff now.
Paul is a Rangers fan. Paul, if we were asking for a moment of the season, would it need to be the Champions League qualifier?
I think the Champions League qualifier, that's what I say to the producer, Champions League qualifier against PSV. Because there was a 12-year gap to getting in the last time. Or, as well as that, maybe a turning point with beating Celtic 3-0, quite a convincing win. So that's maybe hopefully a new dawn coming in, a new era and things like that coming in. So that'd be my moments of the year, to be honest.
Yeah, they're understandable. And in terms of new eras or rebuilds or whatever, do you on Sterling tonight? What about him and anything else you want to see added going forward?
I'm glad, like you've said, because I phoned in a couple of times. Feel like I'm doing a scouting network here for Rangers, but I'm keeping my eyes wide and, you know, open to see what kind of opportunities I've got, because it is for a fresh start. So I'm happy with Stella. I think, you know, Raskin and Cadwell have been good signings so far, so hopefully, you know, this will add a bit of value as well. But I've my wee eye out on Ryan Fraser. I think he's obviously with Newcastle, but I think he's had a bit of falling out with Eddie Howe. From what I'm hearing, he doesn't look to be in the picture in Newcastle. They're obviously going through a major change as well with investment. So I don't know what you guys thought. Maybe, you know, it's the Scottish League. I think he was with Aberdeen previously. So I don't know what you thought. Maybe Ryan Fraser coming back in the fold, and maybe, you know, it's the Scottish League, adds a bit of that. No, he talked about adding a bit of grey hair. I think Ryan Fraser's maybe 29 years old, unless I've got that wrong. He's a wee bit older anyway, experienced.
That makes me feel absolutely awful that Ryan Fraser is now considered an older player. And Paul is bang on, he is 29. How did that happen?
Don't mention grey hair in here.
I do love this time of year, because you're allowed to pluck a name from relatively nowhere and suggest it. And at least, you know, Paul's backed it up, because he's bang on, 8 appearances in English Premier League this season, but none since October. So that tells its own story. He's well out of the picture. You know, you're talking wide player, creative, quick. Ryan Kent's left the building, so I like that. I mean, it might be absolute no chance in the world of happening, but up to that point, I don't mind the suggestion.
Yeah, the thinking behind it's very good. Ryan Fraser is a very experienced player. international player as well. And it depends on his the length of his contract, what he's still got, because he'll not be on peanuts down there playing with Newcastle in the Premier League.
I think that's fair to say.
So that maybe be a big stumbling block.
But what's his next move then? Anyway, you know, if it, I'm not saying it is Rangers, but, you know, could he command another Premier League club at this point?
Maybe a top Championship side, Gordon. I think he would have plenty of people want his signature, but we don't know how many years he's got left in his contract, because, you know, if he's sitting on there in a 2 or 3 year contract, it'll be a lot of money. It'll not be sweet money. It'll be a lot of money.
Well, that's true. I hadn't really thought about that, I must say. But yeah, it's always
you want to play though, don't you? He's 29.
No. You want no. The readies is the most important thing. When you go to that bank on a Thursday and you put your cash line card down, you just want to make sure you're okay.
29 years of age, he is under contract till 2025.
There you go. Yeah, and that'll be a decent contract.
Thank you very much, Paul, though. I don't mind the suggestion at all. It's that time of the season after all. Have a good evening to Paul, and we move on to this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, you were getting it tight at this exact juncture of the show last night.
Why?
Well, Mark Wilson was, he had a bit of a swagger, you know, because he was in with Roger Hanna last night, and he was thinking he was a bit more of an intellectual, you know, and he was...
What do you mean thinking he is?
And he was kind of bumming Roger up about his minus one and how he's so good he should move on to minus two and beat the pundit, all that sort of stuff.
And did Roger, I take it, win? Did Roger play?
He did, yeah.
Roger is good. You played Roger?
I think I have, aye.
Nice.
Sits with eyes closed and all that.
Did they not get 9 out of 10 or something?
We decided to extend it and try and see if we could get them all, but he fell short. Anyway, easier tonight.
Yep.
0141951.
Don't expect the same quality tonight.
1025 and the lines close at 7. So your chance to beat the pundits next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Simon Donnelly are here. 01419511025 or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Do get in touch. We're asking you for your moment of the season, whether that's a serious, important, significant event or maybe something a bit more bizarre. That's absolutely fine. Get in touch and let us know. Rangers made a new signing. Do you want Sterling from Chelsea, technically, but he's only played once there. He's been on loan at Stoke most recently. So any reaction to that, please get it in. And anything else at all, same number, 01419511025. Let's do this before we go any further.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Looking forward to this. How's your recent form?
Very good.
You sure?
No, it's been poor.
I thought you might say that. Do you know what I'm actually getting big calls for? I've been getting a few Instagram messages, a few Twitter messages suggesting that tomorrow you and your compadre Wilson go for a season review quiz.
No, we're not on tomorrow.
What day is this?
This is Tuesday.
So it's Thursday. Bear with me. It's hot out there.
Why do people do this to me?
Thursday.
They know I'm not really good at this.
What are you going to do?
Maybe like a quiz? A season review. Maybe we could just do it for the second hour, maybe.
Mark's very good. I'm terrible.
We'll see how it goes. I think that could be quite good.
In fact, I'll tell you what, there was one time Gordon gave me the answers and I still got beat.
That is true. We tried to stitch Mark up and it just didn't work. Anyway, we'll see. We'll leave that in the pipeline for now. Ryan is in Airdrie. How's it going, Ryan?
Hi, Paddle. How are we doing, all right?
Good. A Celtic fan, Ryan, how much are you looking forward to the chance to win the treble at the weekend?
Oh, that's a certainty.
Well, that's the thing, Simon. Most people think it is, which I couldn't really contradict it.
Yeah, I would expect Celtic to go and lift the trophy at the weekend, yes.
Does that bring its own challenges, being that level of favourite, or...?
Maybe. We've touched on it on the show before. I'm looking at a guy across here.
Don't.
Remember?
That's the last
94. Yeah, but Inverness haven't got a me.
This is true. This is true.
Billy Mackay.
But yeah, heavy.
Not me.
How does Billy Mackay feel to be the 2023 version of Gordon Dale? On the pitch only, I would imagine.
Yeah, but look, miracles can happen, but I don't think it certainly will. I think Celtic put down a marker just last week to say this is what's come to Hampden.
Yeah, I'm not saying there was any doubt anyway, Ryan, but did Saturday sort of really reaffirm that, you know, Celtic will probably go into it with a bit between their teeth?
Yeah, I was at the game on Saturday and we were absolutely brilliant. So we were.
Yeah, did that feel like one of the early season performances at the weekend?
Yeah, it was more like them. It was more like them. They were a lot slicker, ruthless in front of goal. Kyogo were a couple of great finishes. Getting another couple of goals. I think there's a player in there, but it's whether he's going to get enough game time if Kyogo is in front of him.
Right, let's play Beat the Pundit then. Well, Ryan is on the line. Heads, it is Simon. Tails, it will be Gordon DL. And it is heads, Simon against Ryan from Airdrie. So we'll give Simon some greatest hits radio to listen to so that he can't hear us. Ryan, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Okay,
right, cheers. Top man, 30 seconds starting now. Which Celtic player won PFA Young Player of the Year last season?
Abada.
Who finished as Rangers' top league scorer this season?
Tavernier.
Name either player who played in both of St Johnstone's Scottish Cup final wins.
Chris Kane.
In what year did Inverness Cali Thistle make their only previous appearance in the Europa League?
2013.
Name any player announced to be leaving Dundee United today.
Tarps.
How many times did Celtic beat Rangers this season?
Two.
Okay, let's bring back Simon, can you hear us?
Yes,
good.
I can.
Same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock and your time. What are you looking at?
Ryan was no bad.
Okay, well, we'll find out. Ready, Simon?
Yes, go for it.
Which Celtic player won PFA's Young Player of the Year last season?
Abada.
Who finished as Rangers' top league scorer this season?
Cholak.
Name either player who appeared in both of St Johnstone's Scottish Cup final wins.
Wotherspoon.
In what year did Inverness Cali Thistle make their only previous appearance in the Europa League?
Pass.
Name any player mentioned announced to be leaving Dundee United today.
Smith.
How many times did Celtic beat Rangers this season?
Four.
Ryan, what's the verdict?
I think it's tough. I think I've got the last one in mind.
Let's go through them. Lea Labada, Young Player of the Year.
Brilliant.
Last season.
Good start.
Both got it.
All right.
James Tavernier is Rangers' top league scorer, 16-14. Ryan got it.
Right, okay.
Oh, I would have went Cholak as well.
Name either player who appeared in both of St Johnstone's Scottish Cup Sander final
Clark.
Wins. Nope.
Did they not?
Goalkeeper? David Witherspoon. Well done. Or Michael O'Halloran. I think it was Alan Manis maybe in the first one.
I don't know, just want to know, did Ryan get it?
Hold on a minute, were you not the
United assistant
on the losing team?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Are you thinking both cups in the same season?
Yeah.
No, both Scottish cups.
No, there was one in 2014.
Right.
Anyway,
I raised it from the memory.
Are we two all? We are.
Yeah.
I think so.
Well, if Ryan didn't get that,
no, Ryan got it wrong. Inverness Cali Thistle, Europa League 2015.
Why'd you not guess a year?
I know.
That was
pass
silly.
When it's a year, just guess one. No. Won the Scottish Cup, didn't they, 2015? So later that year, played Astra of Romania. None of you got it. I was impressed you've both been studying today. Ryan Edwards, Ian Harkes, Peter Pollitt, Liam Smith, Jamie McGrath, and Loic Aina leaving Dundee United. So you both got it.
Wow.
Still level.
Uh-huh.
How many times did Celtic beat Rangers this season? It is four.
Oh, Ryan.
Did Ryan not get that? The Celtic fan.
I think, Ryan, were you thinking just the league?
Yeah, that's what I remember.
Ryan. Ryan, you showed you're a good enough player, I must admit, but you've slipped up at the end and Simon's pipped you hard lines.
Cheers, guys.
Good, man.
Cheers,
Ryan. That was Ryan and Airdrie. Another victory for you.
Yeah,
can't.
Yeah. Well done, a tighter one.
He's got a good record this season, you know.
A tighter one.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have got Abada.
I just plucked it at the last.
Brilliant.
Minute.
It was a great shout.
Yeah.
But I was a wee bit disappointed you didn't
go for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good on you. No,
just guess.
No, he won anyway, didn't he?
Yeah, good victory. Good victory.
Tight victory.
See, I like that because you were a good sportsman. When I'm on with Wilson, he brings out the worst in me. You bring out the best in me.
So she's just trying to get back from last night. Is that what this is?
Not at all.
01419511025 Twitter at Clyde SSB. That is the way you can get in touch, whether it is to give us our specific question tonight, which is what is your moment of the season, or maybe you just want to talk more generally. We had a brief, that would be your first preview, I think, of the Scottish Cup final with the Beat the Pundit contestant tonight. and it's a massive week, Gordon. Always one of the highlights of the Scottish football calendar under any circumstances. But of course, Celtic going for a treble this time.
Yeah, and obviously going in firm favourites. I don't think anybody outside Inverness has given them a chance of going and lifting the cup. It would need a big miracle for me, Gordon, because I think Celtic showed at the weekend, after a couple of disappointing performances and results, that what they were all about. And if they play to that standard, as much as Billy Dodds will have them well organised, it just becomes such a hard game. Now, I remember I was very fortunate to take a team to a cup final against a bigger team, as in Rangers, and the difference was you can prepare as much as you want. It's just that little bit of concentration for the lower league players. If they switch off, the guys that play week in, week out with the quality they've got punish you. And it's going to be, I just hope, I hope they don't take a drubbing. You know, it could happen, because this Celtic team, if they get a couple of goals early, could run all over the top of you. I wouldn't like that for Inverness. But look, they're in the final. They deserve all the respect they should get. And they'll try and make it as hard as possible. But I just see Celtic too strong.
Going to be some week, isn't it? You look at those playoffs as well. Partick Thistle, again, a couple of days to go. Four games they've played, 16 goals across them. They've got the momentum. I keep bringing this up, that every lower ranked team in Scotland has been the victor in the playoffs. So Spartans beat Albion Rovers, Annan beat Clyde, Hamilton Accies lost to Airdrie.
Partick finished fourth.
Never been done before. It's never been done.
Do you know what the surprising thing? I heard Malky talking about it, saying, well, okay, if they're the favourites, fair dues. The championship team that finished fourth are the favourites to beat Ross County.
Well, is that the mind games or whatever?
Yeah, but I tell you what, I watched Partick against Mull Club Air last week, and okay, they were helped with the 10 men, of course they were. But they look like they've got some decent players and they're playing to the top of their form. They've hit form at the right time. But I still think that Ross County will be a handful.
Playoffs are just great though, aren't they, anywhere? I mean, we know we don't talk about English football that much on this show unless we can try and shoehorn a Scottish reference into it. But even some of them, with Josh Windass for your old team.
Yep.
Wasn't it? You know, a player that we know up here.
To that game. It wasn't yesterday. A great spectacle, but sometimes these games, with all the pressure that come with them, you know, they don't produce sparkling football. But the third minute of extra time, injury time, and they've popped up with a goal. But and his dad was there. His dad scored a famous goal there. I think
you watched a few of them over the last few days.
Yeah, I watched the Championship one. I felt sorry for a lad missing a penalty kick. That wouldn't have been a nice night for him.
No.
Especially when you're on a massive bonus to get to Premier League, I would not have been a happy teammate.
I'm so selfish.
I'm being truthful. It's just pressure in these games. That game was worth what, 100 odd million?
Well, here you are. Here's your seamless transition. I told you we can make any of that stuff about us. We can make any of it about Scotland. And I'm pleased to say Luton midfielder Alan Campbell, former Motherwell midfielder, as you well know, is on the phone right now. Alan, how's it going?
All right, Simon, how are you?
Very good, thanks. Now, what a weekend. I'll just be honest, we were going to try and get you on last night, but you had an open-top bus parade. Such was the level of success getting to the English Premier League with Luton. How's it been?
It's been a bit of a hectic weekend, to be fair, but it's been class. Obviously, coming down to England was the goal to try and get into the Premier League, and to get there this season has been brilliant.
I mean, you're a sensible man, though. You're all right after the open-top bus. It wasn't too much of a party atmosphere yesterday.
Nah, I know for me, but I can say the same for a few of the boys, to be fair. But nah, they deserve it. It's been a tough season. Obviously, the Championship's one of the hardest leagues to get out in. Now I've put the shift in this year and we've reaped our rewards and got promoted to the Prem.
Because it is such a competitive league and the playoffs are there, is there a point in the season where you actually allow yourself to dream about the English Premier League? Because I don't think it's meant to be insulting, but for a club like Luton, it obviously would have seemed miles away not too many years ago.
I think when you're in the playoff positions, I think we were in there for a good while, and you obviously start to believe in the team and that you could beat anybody in the league. And I think when you're in there for a number of weeks and you get that belief in the changing room, then you've just got that one goal and everybody's just striving for it, and putting the work in, and it came through and we got to the Prem.
How nerve-wracking is that moment where you're standing arm round your teammates or whatever on those penalties? Because they went quite deep into them as well. They were brilliant penalties. And how stressful was it to watch?
Nah, fair play to the boys that stepped up. They dealt with the pressure well. We prepared a lot, to be fair, in training. We've done it for a good few weeks, so we were prepared, and just a matter of who could deal with the pressure. And thankfully, we were on the right side, and it was the best one ever. When unfortunately enough, the boy missed, but for us, it was a buzz, and seeing the fans, they turned out in their numbers, and the family were in the crowd, so it was class.
Gordon, I was nervous watching that, and I had literally no interest necessarily. Obviously, with Alan's claret number background, yeah. I was sort of hoping Luton would get there, but. That must have been like to be involved in.
I was the exact same. Sitting there as a neutral, I'm thinking, how is someone going to feel tonight if they miss that penalty kick that's cost your team a chance to go to the English Premier League? And the lad, you've seen how nervous he was. He wasn't even near a goal. He was near a other one away, and it was a poor, poor penalty kick. But up until then, I think Alan's right. The standard of penalties, and it takes a lot to say, I'll take one of these penalties. There's been a lot of big players, and I mean big players with big reputations, that shy away from that responsibility. But well done to Luton, absolutely brilliant for them.
I think one of the themes that's always run alongside this season, Alan, and it's become a bit of a joke now, is the constant sharing of images of the stadium on Twitter, and people saying, can you believe this might be a Premier League ground next season? You hoping you can make that a bit of an uncomfortable venue for some of the big boys in the league?
Aye, well, it's been a part of it this year as well. Teams don't like coming to play at Kenilworth Road, and I think obviously with the top clubs coming there, it'll be to our advantage, and we just need to try and make the most of it, to be fair. Pick up as many points as you can at home. But no, it's I don't know if you've been, but it's a class place to play when the atmosphere's long, and I'll tell you one thing, I don't think teams like coming there, and we just need to use that as an advantage for us next year.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, have you seen the pictures, it has become a bit boring now. People, you know, it's been shared too much, but it's just, what is it, Alan? It's one of those entrances or something, Alan. It's like in between houses. Is that right?
I think when you go up the stairs and that, you can see in the back gardens of people's houses and that. So, it's a bit mad to explain. I'm sure people could search it and look at it, but. Now that'll be an experience for some of them.
They've been there before, though, Gordon. They've been there. Mm. We're old enough to remember the television 80s.
Can you just imagine it? Erling, come on in.
Oh, I tell you, Luton had some real big players. Yeah. Mick Hartford, for
Mick
instance.
Hartford up front, yeah.
What about is it on a personal level, Alan? Because, you know, everybody who talks about you, and we've had loads in the show over the years, always remember sort of James McFadden and managers that you've had just talking about how sort of relentless you are and trying to get better and trying to go up against people that are better than you to push yourself on. How much are you relishing a crack at the Kevin De Bruyne's of the world next season?
Now, that's what it's all about, isn't it? As a player, you want to challenge yourself to get better. That was one of the main reasons I came down here, is to try and improve, to try and get to the next level, and obviously to get to the Premier League, one of the best leagues in the world, to week in, week out, come up against top international players is only something that I'm looking forward to, and I'm sure I'll learn a lot for playing against them, and try and, as I said, get better myself and try and establish myself at that level and really try and push my career on.
And I know you've made it into Scotland squads recently, missing out this time. How much of a motivation does that remain for you to try and get back into that picture?
Definitely. It's every young footballer's dream is to play for their country, and my main aim is just try to keep performing well and keep trying to knock on the door and try and force your way in there, because also the competition in there is mad. There's quality players in that position. So for me, it's just about working hard and keeping the head down and trying performing well and hopefully getting an off sniff in it.
What's next then? Bit of time off, bit of downtime before thoughts of Man City and Liverpool and Arsenal and the rest?
I think it's well needed, to be fair. It's been a long season. Just good to switch off for 2 weeks or something, or 10 days, whatever it is, and then back into the thick of things, getting ready for pre-season and making sure we're ready for the Premier League.
Good man. Alan Campbell, Luton Town, former Motherwell midfielder, brilliant. Congratulations again, well done.
Nah, cheers, thank you.
There we are. See, that's the difference between him and you. Hardworking, humble, didn't overindulge at the celebration yesterday, and absolutely no mention of spending his summer blowing the bonus for getting to the, oh, the top flight?
I was desperate to ask him. Much as sitting in that pot now. Much did you get? Back to the old days of the
looting. That's hard work.
Oh, he's a dedication. Yeah, and he sounds like he likes football, which obviously I didn't particularly like too much.
Stop it.
I didn't like. I just
prefer golf.
I prefer a golf, yes, but obviously I had to do it.
You didn't like football.
Oh, don't. He's at play. He's at it. He's trying. He's just trying to show off. I don't even know what he's achieving by that. But anyway, 01419511025, Twitter at Clyde SSB, and you can get in touch right now, please.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Simon Donnelly and Gordon Dyell are here, and it's time for them to tackle a full-time teaser. Now, the aim of that game, in case you've not heard it, is you send the questions in and the pundits try and come up with the answers. Quite good to sort of reverse the roles, if you like, from the weekend where we provide the questions. So it's good to see what you've got out there. And Kevin has sent this one in tonight, talking about grey hair earlier on, weren't we? So maybe that can be the theme. Maybe this is called the grey hair 10. Murray Davidson, he's just announced his retirement. Did you see that, St. Johnstone?
No, I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, there you are. Now you know. He is actually the 11th oldest player in the Scottish Premiership this season. Can you name the top 10?
McGregor.
So Murray Davidson, just retired St. Johnstone, the 11th oldest player in the Premiership this season. Can you name the top 10?
McGregor.
Callum McGregor.
Alan McGregor.
Oh, Alan McGregor, yeah.
Considine.
Andy Considine is 6th. Well done.
Joe Hart.
Joe Hart is nowhere on your list.
Stephen Davis.
He's nowhere on the list.
Stephen Davis.
Nope. Hold on a minute.
Oh,
sure. No, hold on. I've just spotted. They're all Scottish. My bad. Uh-huh. My apologies.
Right, so
they're Scottish. Scottish. I stand corrected.
Right, so Considine, we're okay with that.
And McGregor, both fine. Yeah.
Right.
Old Scottish.
Stevenson. Hibs.
Yes, he's in there as well in 9th. Well done. Okay, we'll leave it there. I've got faith in you that you can get them all before the end. So Murray Davidson just retired. Can you name the 10 Scots in the Premiership who were older than him this season? Alan McGregor, Andy Considine, Lewis Stevenson. Looking for another 7. We'll see how we go. And if, like Kevin, you want to submit a question to the show and hear it used, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Fulltime@clyde1.com. Send them in, please. Davey is on the line. And it says here, Davey, usually we've got a location on a yacht in Bowling Harbour.
That's correct.
Wonderful. What a night for that.
It's pure magic. This is paradise.
What do you mean, where's that?
Back from my holiday in Barbados.
Oh.
And bowling beats it, hands down.
Gordondale doesn't even know where bowling is. It's only about 4 miles from here if you're lucky.
Is it?
I'll tell you what to do, right. Here's the script.
Is
for
you on the Clyde?
For after the show. Come out the front door.
Yeah.
Go onto the canal. Turn right and just follow the canal until you see Davey on his boat. Is that about right, Davey? Will he find you?
Well, just for your information, guys, it's the mouth of the Clyde, the Forth and the Clyde Canal. It's where you join the canal that takes you to Falkirk and Edinburgh, etc., etc.
So there you are.
Every day is a school day.
I've
walked just a, you never walked from here? No. That's a stupid question. Why would you have that for you? Is some it? Time to kill around the office?
No, I wouldn't go walking.
But, well, listen, he's given it the big build-up. This is better than Barbados.
Is it your boat, Dave?
I have a Colwick Victor 34 catch. She's a brilliant sea boat. And I've had her since 2007. I've known her all her life. I had to build her when I was a teenager.
Brilliant.
I love this. This could be my favourite call. We've not had a proper seaman on the show.
Could be on this boat at some point.
A sort of super scoreboard end of season trip down the canal.
Yeah, up Loch Lomond and stop off for a wee bit lunch and
take the golf clubs.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. Davey, what was your moment of the season?
Well, my moment for the season was Jota's goal against the Gers and the Jota salute. Superb. No goal better than that this season.
Well,
numero uno.
Davey's been travelling too much.
Seasickness.
It did win goal of the season at the PFA Awards, although that award is a vote. So I'd always have this feeling that the big teams are always going to win it, you know. Was it Is that a standout moment for you?
Yeah, yeah, because that was in that game, and just the cheeky finish as well. I like those kind of finishes.
Great pass actually as well, wasn't it?
O'Reilly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Played it through to him, timed it brilliantly, the run, and he was cool enough to just lift it over the keeper, and the celebration has become a bit of a icon as well.
Was it the goal of the season for you?
That was a very good goal. I'm just trying to rack my brains to see if there's better. I'm trying to think.
What about Stephen Humphreys halfway line?
Yellow Hearts. Yeah, that's fantastic goal.
He was sort of on the run, wasn't he?
And yeah, great bit of skill. I've got to say that might be up there to challenge.
But don't get me wrong, in terms of moment, Davey's right. It's, you know, it's the big occasion against big rivals, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, it's a terrific finish, and obviously he was rewarded with that, with the goal of the season. But there have been a few spectacular ones out there this season, I'm sure. But that's up there. We'll give it that.
Going to finish the job, Davey, with the Scottish Cup at the weekend. I don't think any Celtic fans are going to say no to that, but feeling extremely confident.
Absolutely. And just one thing that nobody's actually mentioned, the angle that man hit that ball, that was pure skill, pure class. There's not many players that can do that.
Yeah, it was a cute finish for sure, Simon. Because I remember at the time criticism of John McLaughlin, because he sort of went down early. But even at that, I remember then the discussion after the game, almost even although he potentially did, to still have that execution was...
It's a deft finish. And as I say, it's one that I like. You know, it suggests the coolness, going through and goal, 1v1. As Davey says, on the acute angle as well. And he just... chips over the keeper. It's a great finish.
Where are you taking the boat next, Davey?
I want to go up to the Loch Oilhead.
Nice.
It's about a 5-hour journey. The problem with it, I used to keep my boat in Adrossan and also in Fairlie, and I could go anywhere, but here it's tidal. I can only go out two hours either side of the tide, high tide that is. So I've got to be out at least 8 hours, and Loch Oilhead is 5 hours away.
Oh.
Stay overnight and then time the tide to come back up here.
Can you drop me off at Arran?
Nay bother, I've been to Arran. I'm from Saltcoats, that's where I'm from.
Oh right, okay. I'll travel down there and you'll give me a wee lift over.
What an absolute education this has been. See, I do, like, as arrogant as this sounds, I've always felt this was more than a football show. I feel like we provide a service.
Yeah.
You're learning about tidal patterns and the logistics of sailing to various...
I'm not a great boat man, right?
I bet you get seasick. He's not on the sea right enough. But
I'm not,
I mean,
really. I don't like the water. I'm not a fan.
You're
not
don't
a strong
like
swimmer.
Much, though, do what? You?
Yeah, swimmer, no.
Well, I just don't think that sharks have got shark
nap. I don't know if there are any sharks at Bowling Harbour.
It could be. You never know. One could just turn the wrong corner.
I'm feeling fairly confident.
Right, okay, that's fine. But I'm not a great swimmer either, so I'm trusting Davey. But he sounds like he knows what he's doing.
Over
so
to Arran would be nice. That'd be nice.
I like Arran. I've got friends over there. Yeah. I always wanting to go over and see. So Davey can drop me off and then pick me back up.
Sounded quite ominous, to be honest. Davey,
Anuba.
That was a pleasure, Davey. Happy boating, and we'll hopefully speak to you soon. A
couple of things. I've been sailing since I was 4. I've been lucky enough. My grandfather and my father used to race wee boats at Largs. And then when I did my engineering apprenticeship, folk were buying cars and motorbikes, you know, my colleagues, you know. I bought myself a wee dinghy and raced at Largs as well. Then I went into the big boat game. And for you, Simon, my wife used to work for Celtic Football Club in the finance department.
All right.
Her name's Joanne Aitken.
Right, you might know her.
Pay your wages every month.
Yeah, she used
back
to buy the big Elvis, and all the lassies used to give her a ready when the... when the big Elvis walked in.
Wow, this already. Call has taken.
I was after,
this is
called, that was after my time. Elvis was after my time.
Davey's wife is on sitting in the boat, getting exposed for fancying Stephen ready. Presley. Ah, wow. I just don't know where to go from that. I feel like to end the show there.
That's it. Well done, Davey. Good story.
I've just got the song Dignity.
That's so bad. I don't know. No.
I can just imagine
exact
Davey.
Same. Davey will have the tunes on away. Away up the Clyde.
Brilliant.
Safe sailing, Davey.
Well done, Davey. I'm just going to leave his mic down, because last time I said bye, we ended up getting even further stories about the boat. We could do it all night, and other people are desperate to get on, but that was great fun. Davey, Bowling Harbour.
Bowling Harbour, 4 miles up the road. Nah, I'm not a boat man.
I'm just kind of lost. I don't know what's next.
What a night to be on his boat. Beautiful.
A sun cream, no, much. So it's a must. To be hot tomorrow, you need to look after yourself on that golf course. I'm worried about you.
He's got a wee bit of colour, isn't he? Golf in the day.
Overdone it. Got to say.
I'm worried about you.
I'm worried about myself, but look, we'll get there.
Miovsky Magic is tweeting Duke back heel's goal's got to be up there. That's the second mention of Duke's back heel we've had tonight, so that's fair.
Yeah, good goal. Good goal. Good finish.
Yeah, not
there've
bad.
Been some cracking free kicks as well, you've got to say, this season.
Friend of the show who was in a couple of weeks ago, Mark O'Hara, he got a couple of cracking goals as well, didn't he?
Yeah. He had a great finish to the season. Topped it off with signing a new contract. So he gets away with leaving his girlfriend in the car park for 2.5 hours.
You're never letting that go.
No, absolutely not. The window down. Wait there, sweetheart. I'm just waiting to do Super Scoreboard. I'll see you in a couple of hours.
I did enjoy that, I must say. I've got visions of the other people on the boats at Bowling Harbour, sort of looking around, looking out for Davey. Just giving him a wave. He'll be this local celebrity in the boating circles.
He certainly knows what he's talking about. You know what I mean?
You don't know what you're talking about. He could have told you anything there.
Unbelievable.
And
yeah.
I'm hands up, I'm the same. I could have been absolute gobbledygook what he said.
Yeah, it sounded as if he knew.
He sold it well, didn't he?
But what my point is, we wouldn't know, would we? We didn't have a clue.
We didn't even know where he was.
Do you think he's got the missus at the back and he's just rowing away? He's rowing up and down.
I don't think he rolls with oars. I'm disappointed in you both not knowing where bowling is. Just up there.
When he first said it, I thought it was going to be something a wee bit more exotic.
So did that.
I thought it was going to be the other side of the world.
It is exotic. I know that me pointing doesn't help because this is a radio show. I'm telling you, onto that canal, right outside this office, take a wee walk up.
4 miles.
Erskine Bridge, under...
Oh, is it under the Erskine?
Away you go.
Oh, right, okay. Nah, I'm not really... If he comes and gets me and takes me to Arran, I'll be happy. Do you think he would charge me?
What about your pal Wilson? You hear about him? I look forward to bringing it up with him on Thursday night when he's back on. He walked home from here on Saturday night, 14 miles to his house.
There's a problem with that boy.
After his shift.
I know.
Just because...
Because we finished early and he had nothing to do that night, so he walked along Dunbar. There's something wrong with him.
There's a problem.
I'm impressed. 14 miles walked home.
Yeah. He had his new trainers on, so you've seen him.
Should be fit for this game tomorrow then.
Well, they were very white, weren't they? One of those, you walk in and you're like, they're brand new.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough about boating and walking and whatever other mode of transport is out there. How are you faring on this teaser now? Kevin has sent it in. So Kevin wanted you to answer this. Murray Davidson's just announced his retirement. Great servant to St Johnstone in Scottish football. He is the 11th oldest Scottish player in the Premiership this season. So who are the top 10? You've given me Alan McGregor, Andy Considine and Lewis Stevenson. So just to, I don't know if it'll help you much, you need to be 34 and a half really to get on this list.
Craig Gordon.
Of course, because he made it to a week shy of his 40th birthday when he broke that leg, didn't he? So Craig Gordon. So
he's on it.
He is. One more guess.
I'm starting to struggle.
I'm looking at the table, I can't eat.
Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the answers next and more calls if you fancy it. Get them in.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home straight. I should have used a boating terminology there, really, shouldn't I? You're going to have to stick with the. I suppose, straight, that's a body of water as well, isn't it? Does that work?
What did they say his boat was called? Did he give us the name?
Oh, I think he might. He said he's known her whole life.
Yeah. He's very, very.
I missed the name.
Passionate.
I'm disappointed myself. I probably was.
We should
out
the name
at that point. Anyway, your full time teaser tonight is: can you name the top 10 oldest Scottish players in the Premiership this season? The reason that Kevin has sent it in is because Murray Davidson was 11th in the list and he's retired. So who are the 10 older? You've got Alan McGregor, Andy Considine, Lewis Stevenson and Craig Gordon. Remember, they must be Scottish.
Go on.
Charlie Mulgrew.
At 37 years, 1 month and 16 days. He's absolutely on it. Well done.
Stephen Fletcher must be there.
His teammate, yes. He's pretty similar in age. A bit younger, actually, Stephen Fletcher. Okay.
Right. And I always tell you, there's always a goalie.
Well, you've got Craig Gordon already.
I'm going for another couple, actually. David Marshall must be there. Hibs.
He is indeed.
Right, okay.
done.
That's okay. We'll leave it there. You've got time to get them before the end of the show. We've been talking about moments of the season. Davy Houston says Scott Arfield scoring a double against Aberdeen in time added on, 2-1 down, and then winning 3-2. Remember that?
Pottori.
Where were you that night?
I've no idea.
Just testing how bad your memory is.
Where was I that night?
We were at Top Golf. I remember, because we went after the show and thought, great, this is brilliant.
I was at Paolo Nutini.
So you weren't watching the game then?
Remember, you invited me to Top Golf.
That's right, indeed.
Tickets for Nutini.
Because I remember thinking, oh, it's going to be great to go and check out Top Golf. I think it just opened. It was the winter, wasn't it? Oh, but there's a big game on, right? I'll need to record it, catch it later. In the name of research. And we got there and they had it on.
On
and
the TV, yeah, it. I remember
were
it.
Were you too
still,
focused
still
on your...
at that place. It's
oh, it's good. Yeah,
decent,
it's great.
Wow, we're good at it.
No, you are outstanding at it. I just go for the food, to be quite frank. I just like the sharing platter. But you're outrageous at it. But there we are. So yeah, that's Scott Arfield double.
Yeah,
that was that spell, wasn't it, where Rangers winning games and under Michael Beale, maybe narrowly and having to nick it, but ultimately putting the wins together that at least, I mean, I'm not saying it made the title race close, of course it didn't, but it kept the gap fairly consistent for a while.
Yeah, and it just shows you the fondness that the Rangers fans had for Arfield. He was that kind of player. He could come on and get you those important goals, and obviously that night at Pottori was brilliant for him. Yeah, you're right, Gordon. I think that was the time Michael Beale was just getting the results, but as the caller earlier said, it didn't really matter because Celtic were winning games anyway and always had that lead that they could just not cut into. But players like Arfield, that will be, for me, will be sadly missed, because I think he's still got a lot to offer.
Davy in Bowling Harbour's back on the phone to the producer.
What's the name of the boat?
I have no idea.
It's the name of the boat.
What's the name of the boat?
Because I can see who the producer's on the phone to, and he's back on. And he's telling anyone's
come
welcome
on, Davy, give us the name of the boat.
I don't know if he means us or the full audience. Nightjar.
Nightjar.
Quite like that.
Nightjar.
Not what I expected.
It must be something. Nightjar.
No, like Nightjar.
Nightjar.
There's
a reason behind that.
Very
go for a nightjar.
Female. She described her as.
But no, but
she.
Boats always are described as that. Oh, are they not? No, I'm sure not my lack of knowledge.
Well, they're always described as what?
She.
She.
Don't know.
Why are we having this discussion?
Know.
I'm pretty
night
sure there's something.
Jar.
In that.
Nightjar. There's
can
a
we get an explanation off David?
Yeah.
No, we've kicked the backside out of this.
Davy and his nightjar.
I'm glad I got this right. In Latin, ship means navis, which is a feminine word. So making boats female and calling them she is an ancient custom of giving gender to inanimate objects.
There you go.
See?
You're learning something. I like
education.
That.
Look after
I like that.
Right. Please, Tom in Cumbernauld, bring us back to some sort of sense. What was your moment of the season? You're a Rangers fan.
Good evening. Good evening, Gordon and Simon.
Hello.
Good evening. My moment of the season was James Tavernier's free kick against Celtic at Parkhead. That was my point, but I've got another couple of points.
Well, hold on that. As far as free kicks go, Gordon, that was brilliant. Right up there. Graham R actually tweeted just before Tom came on and said that free kick should have been nominated for goal of the season, and it wasn't. And what was particularly strange about it?
No fans.
Silence.
Deathly silence.
Oh, sure it was.
A brilliant free kick.
Yeah, that's right.
No noise. You were there to take it working.
Yeah, I was there. Do you know, it actually reminded me, because way back in the days when Celtic...
Oh yeah, I know what's coming here.
John Colton scored a free kick.
Free kick as well.
When Tavernier scored that, it reminded me of it immediately. There was just silence.
Did you play that game? The John Collins one, yeah.
And it was the same. Just the roles were reversed.
Yeah.
You've got to say it was a terrific piece of skill. Goalkeeper, absolutely no chance. I think if you can cast your mind back, I thought there was a lot of quality free kicks. Clarkson, for instance, was a good free kick.
Been good at
Yeah, he's very good.
Callum Slattery.
Slattery, yes.
And that was an important one at Kilmarnock. And then Sean Goss did it for Motherwell a couple of weeks
later. So there have been a lot of terrific free kicks, I've got to say.
Slattery's got Motherwell's goal of the season, I believe.
Oh, did he?
I think so. I mean, I don't know about Van Veen's little touch against Kelly. I feel like that's not done by. Tom, what was your other point tonight?
My point was about the couple of signings we have made for next season. the boy from Norwich, I think it's Dill, and the boy Dijon. How do you? I'm quite hopeful that they can get another few signings in for next year. They can mount a challenge to Celtic for the title. What do you guys think?
Oh well, I think they still need a few signings to strengthen their squad. There's no doubt about that. I'm sure Michael Beale will have players on the radar. You look at the centre forward position with obviously Morelos departing the building. In the middle of the park just now, they seem to have a lot of players in the middle of the park. If you count them up, there's a decent quality players from the midfield. They've obviously brought in a right back stroke right centre back tonight. That'll add a wee bit strength to the defence. They'll be looking at the goalkeeping situation. So there's still a bit of business to do. And once everybody's in the building, then it's up to Michael Beale to put the jigsaw together. Because as I said earlier, there's no doubt that he's got to hit the ground running next season. He can't afford to give Celtic another start, because you know how hard that was to try and even get near them and claw it back. So it's a very important close season for Michael Beale and Rangers.
Celtic maybe changed some of the preconceptions as well a couple of years ago, Simon, because generally you would think, well, if you're going to have to assemble, you know, replace some really mainstays and then assemble this new team, that it's just hard. It's just hard to do and get them all to hit the ground running, which it is. But unfortunately for Rangers, Celtic managed it. And we all know all those cliches about Glasgow, your seconds nowhere, all that stuff. Yep. And you just need to do it. If they've done it, you need to do it, and you need to try and keep up or obviously overtake.
That's the challenge. That is the challenge for Rangers next year. And it'll be interesting, as I said earlier on the show, it'll be a new look, Rangers, because four or five of the guys that have left have been probably the heart of that team for the last 4 or 5 years. Certainly since Stevie Gerrard was in. And they have to go and find replacements for them. So, I mean, I'd written down earlier on, a keeper, is McCrory going to be the guy? Are they going to have to get somebody else in? A striker?
You certainly need one anyway, whether he's number one or not.
Yeah, a striker. I mean, Morelos, towards the end, we touched on his fitness, but he scored a lot of goals for Rangers over the time he was there. So it's going to be a new look team next year. And that is the challenge, because, as you said earlier on, I think Celtic will strengthen as well.
A nightjar's a bird, for goodness sake. How can you not know that?
Is it? Nightjar's a bird?
Honestly, you
what
two.
What kind of bird?
What do you mean?
Did so Davey tell us
that's the name of the bird?
Googled it.
Davey told us, and other people have been phoning in.
They're not interested in this football. Nightjar's a bird.
Ludicrous. Ludicrous. Thank you very much, Tom. Good point. Yeah. Enjoyed that. That was Tom and Cumbernauld. On 0141951.
Wonder if he's got a wee picture of the bird down there.
100%.
His daughter, Davey's daughter, named the boat. There, right.
Oh, there'll be a picture of the. It'll be on the side.
Yeah.
See, when you look back,
go and explore this.
See, when you look back,
they could have a jar on the night jar.
I'm actually going to try and talk about football just for one more minute. Right. Sorry, this is a mad idea.
We're sailing.
When you look back, you enjoyed the season though for sort of loved winding it down. I feel like you've watched a lot of football this season, haven't you?
Yeah, more than normal.
And in entirely unrelated news, did you see that three individuals between streaming organisations have been today jailed for a total of 30 years and 7 months in English Premier League?
No.
I just thought I'd just offer that as a diff, you know, nothing to do with you. And
why you got a big smile?
No, nothing, just because you're saying you watched a lot of football this season.
All right, okay. I've enjoyed the season.
You're the only guy I know that's got Dumbarton TV and
what I do is I get out and I go about the grounds and
in person.
And go and see the game. But I've really enjoyed my season.
Student of the game.
It's not finished yet. Still three exciting games left.
The league season, the regular league season, is all that's finished.
Yeah.
Well, good. I hope you watch them and enjoy them.
Yeah, I do.
Right, a couple more to get on this teaser. Then, can you name the top 10 oldest Scottish players to play in the Premiership this season? You've got Alan McGregor, Andy Considine, Lewis Stevenson, Craig Gordon, Charlie Mulgrew, Stephen Fletcher and David Marshall. How many is that? Seven?
Seven.
I'm going to go for
three to get
to. Right, Alan Poor at Kilmarnock.
No, he's not Scottish either.
Oh, is he not?
That's a bad
start. What about Smith at Hearts?
Michael Smith, yeah. He's not Scottish either. He's really taking a downward turn here.
Trevor Carson.
He is also not Scottish. What's going on?
No!
This is what, do you know what's worse about these?
He started so well.
These are guys that have actually represented other countries at international level.
Oh no, I'm right, beat quick now. I was my three.
You're not done with the goalies yet, and we've spoken about them earlier in the season. Earlier in the show.
Did we?
Jota's goal.
John McLaughlin.
John McLaughlin.
McLaughlin.
Okay. What about, you're not done with the Hearts old boys yet? You gave me Craig
Gordon.
Gordon. What about his teammates? Although this guy didn't finish the season.
Ooh. He's left.
Snodgrass.
Snodgrass. Okay, okay, we're getting there. We're getting there. How many more? Just one more.
One.
I could struggle with this one. St. Mirren. Sent off. No, not sent off. Gave away a penalty a couple of weeks ago, which was quite a crucial moment.
Gallagher.
Nah, I'll just put you out of your misery. I think Ryan Flynn.
No.
Got there in the end. Thank you, Gordon DL, Simon Donnelly, and thank you. Your moments of the season, very entertaining. Your reaction to Dujon Sterling joining Rangers, and even a bit of sailing knowledge in for good measure as well. Back tomorrow, Cammy Bell and Marvin Bartley from 6, and Callum Gallagher is up next.